America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo.
I have no excuse. This happens to me every year. And it's probably just getting worse and worse where, oh, it's another draft. It's June, July, August. Oh, let's go. You free tonight? Yes, let's have a draft. Let's go. Then you get to week one and you're still like supercharged. Oh, waivers. Let's go. Lineups. It's the best. It's back. It is the Wednesday before the Thursday night game in week three. And I'm just completely spent. There's no excuse. I know better. I need to learn some restraint during the summer so I'm not in here just completely losing my mind over whether Jordan Whittington is a good idea as a receiver for the Rams. Whittington, sorry. Sal, are you familiar with Jordan Whittington? Is your life that pathetic?
No, not really.
It's okay. Please be honest. Yes. No, it's good. It's good if you don't know who he is. How about Carson Steele?
Sure, Charles. Yeah, absolutely. I still am not convinced he'll be getting more touches than Samaje Perine. I think it could be by committee. So I didn't really think about doing that today. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, again, healthy. Sounds healthy.
Yeah.
Sorry to start with the Chiefs, but that's the Kansas City backfield right now. How big of a loss is Pacheco for you?
I think it's a huge loss. He's a really tough runner. He is able to, I think he gets a lot of hidden yards just because he runs so tough. He's always moving forward, keeps him in manageable situations. He has the ability to break one. He's not like this all-world pass catcher out of the backfield, but he has a little bit of flexibility to do that. I just think what they do, that he kind of complements everything, and especially because of the whole, this what we're talking about now with the way offenses are trending and what's happening with all these offenses. I think he's a really good back for that. And to be honest with you, Mike, I just don't think they have a lot behind them. Like Carson Steele, Samaje Perine. Like, I wonder how that looks for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
At least. Today, yes. Andy Reid even said this season or next for Pacheco.
So. Well, there you go. I mean, listen, it was 6 to 8, it was said. The Bills play them in 9 weeks. Yeah. So if he is out 8 weeks, he would come back the week before they play the Bills. And even then, I was looking at it yesterday going, man, even if he's out 6 to 8, what's he doing by the time he comes back against the Bills? I agree. An injury like this is something that feels like, yeah, it's probably going to be even longer term than this particular timeline they're putting on.
Since we're just always taking stock of the Chiefs for obvious reasons, they did start 2-0, two very close wins against, you know, yeah, probably really good teams. But their season looks harder to me than it did before week one, with the Chargers starting well, maybe even the Raiders. They have Atlanta and New Orleans as two of their next three games. I mean, the Saints are maybe the story of the league so far. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not Tampa Bay about halfway through. They're off to a good start. This is nothing unusual. You know, the season starts and games happen, and then like we have different opinions of maybe like half the teams in the league. But really, like, yeah, Kansas City, such a prohibitive favorite preseason in the AFC West. Now I could see them being in a fight.
Yeah, Mike, honestly, I think there's been too much of a... I think they've looked good. I liked their win last week because it was against... I think the Cincinnati Bengals played well. And it's a good job by the Chiefs to win that game, but I do think the Bengals played well. They also got... It was a legitimate call, the pass interference, but it came down to the final possession. And it comes down to a long field goal for them to win that game. And the week before, it's a three-point dogfight in the fourth quarter with the Baltimore Ravens. So... I think there's been a little too much of, boy, the Chiefs look better than last year. They've taken another step and they've developed. I don't know. I think they kind of look similar to me than last year. But the difference is last year they started with the loss against the Lions. They rebounded. This year they opened up with a win against the Ravens, who did not look good at all against the Raiders on Sunday. So I agree with you, and I think this loss is significant for them with Isaiah Pacheco. And if you look at Patrick Mahomes and how they're using him to throw the ball right now, he's Patrick Mahomes. Of course he is. But holy cow, he's kind of like the poster child for what's happening around the league with these short passes and not really throwing anything downfield.
Yeah, and I want to get back to that and talk some ball with you. I think it's so fascinating what's going on in the league right now. The Bills, one example of it, with how their passing production has just kind of plummeted here. Not that we're necessarily shocked by that, but really interesting time in the league. Before we get into maybe that deeper conversation, let's go over today. So no Taron Johnson, no Terrell Bernard on Monday night. I mean, those are good players, but I bet a lot of fans are just almost to the point of assuming that Sean McDermott will make it work.
Right, and I think the advantage here is you have a little bit of runway. When Taron got hurt in week one, obviously everything had to change on the fly, right? That happens in a football game, you know that. Cam Lewis, who was scheduled to be the dime safety, has to go play his natural nickel position, which he normally is for the Bills, and then suddenly a boundary corner, Jamarcus Ingram, has to play dime safety. But they also had a game just 4 days later. You can't change a lot between then. You know, you don't have a lot of time to prepare. It's like, okay, here we go. That's the set. Let's go back out. Let's do it again. Run it back. And it obviously worked out really well. At least in this scenario, now you lose Bernard for most of the game against Miami. Spector's in there. You already know you're without Taron Johnson. They've had 6 days already to prepare, and they have another 6 days from now, 5 days from now, to get ready. I mean, you know, so it's a 11 to 12 day ramp up to figure out what they want to do. And I think at least that's an advantage for Sean McDermott and his coaching staff. But you're right also that, I mean, at this point, why would you not have faith that whoever they put out there is going to do a good job? And this is part of the larger point for me of, and I wrote about this weekend, and it's just something I've thought about a lot lately, which is, we were hammered over the head with the words continuity by the Buffalo Bills for 20 years when they didn't have it. And oh, the search for continuity and Doug Marrone and Doug Whaley and Chan Gailey and Doug Whaley and Buddy Nix, whoever it is. The Bills actually have continuity now. And you see what continuity gets you. What's happening here, Mike, is these players who are stepping in, they're not new players. They've been here. Jamarcus Ingram's in his third year. Cam Lewis in his sixth year. Baylen Spector's in his third year. Because they have continuity with their GM in front office and coaching staff, Brandon Bean has the luxury that so many teams do not have, which is he can draft for not only the short term and an immediate need if possible, but for the long game and say, we're going to put this guy into our practice squad. He's going to develop. And when he's ready, he can step in and play because he knows what we're doing. And if you have changeover in your head coach every couple years, you can't do that. Rex Ryan had a totally different type of defense. So when he goes to Sean McDermott, they have to change the roster over completely. So anybody you're developing in Rex Ryan's 2 years, they're no use anymore, essentially. And right now, the Bills kind of are in a really, really sweet spot to be able to draft and develop and plug and play because these guys are here and they know what they're supposed to do.
No doubt. And adding to that, or a part of that, is how... multiple, that's a football word, isn't it? As a noun, like how variant teams can be, you know, formations and different things they can do as a defense. It's not just continuity with one coach or one program, but it's also like just being able to be nimble. And I mean, Ingram and Lewis are both examples of that. Johnson was going back. So the Bills have a lot going for them. By the way, it's not like matchup time yet. We're only to Wednesday, and the game is Monday. Due respect, I kind of thought, looking back at the game more than anticipating it, that missing Johnson might not have been the worst matchup for that with Miami, because really they're so narrow in terms of targets, and you always want your best players, and he's good. But this game could be different. Like, Jacksonville has not been effective throwing the ball yet, like a lot of teams, but they're, to me, like a classic example of teams with the three wide. And, you know, tight end was useful last year. We'll see what happens if no Ingram. We talked to a guy earlier from Jacksonville who's like, the backup did fine. But Davis, Thomas, Kirk, that's a different kind of challenge.
For sure. And what concerns me in this game with the matchup is the Bills fill-ins at linebacker, their backups, I should say, at linebacker, they're not known as cover linebackers. So Bailyn Spector and Dorian Williams are both really traditional see-ball, get-ball backers, and that's what they do really well. When they see where the football is and they go to it, they bring a lot to the party and they get there. And they're very good at that. Dorian Williams, I think, is, you know, he's at like 19 tackles through two games. Bailyn Spector's a tackling machine. He had 10 or 11 last week in, you know, coming in the game. But when you start to do different things in the backfield and they have to cover and play in space, that's when things can become a little bit more challenging for them. I think this is a tough team to play against that does that. This is Trevor Lawrence, who's smart. He can make every throw. You have Travis Etienne, who's a good running back. He can get to the edge. He can catch passes out of the backfield. Obviously, they can use him like that. And then you have Evan Ingram, who to me is a very, very big loss in this game if he doesn't play. Fine, the backup played well. It's not Evan Ingram. That would be a major loss. And you're talking about now all three guys at the same level. Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, and Taron Johnson. And all three, in their own right for their positions, are great coverage guys. Milano is a really good cover linebacker. Terrell Bernard's a good cover linebacker. Very good for a middle linebacker. And, of course, Taron Johnson's an all-pro. You're replacing them with Cam Lewis, Dorian Williams, and Bailyn Spector, who just aren't on that level of covering guys. And I think that's where the Jags will look to attack. But the Bills at least know that, right? They have, like I said, 12 days to understand that and figure out how they want to make sure they don't get caught up there.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Shope. Thanks for being with us. All right, Sal. I'm sure you have a lot of opinions on, well, one thing first. Josh Allen's hand. No change?
Yeah. Wore the glove today. Had the fingers taped. Obviously, he had that all week. He played with it like that. Remains to be seen if he plays Monday night. We still have some time here, but no change as far as what he looked like or what he was able to do because he was a full participant in practice. I mean, there's no official designation today, Mike. They're playing Monday night, so tomorrow's the first day, but you know, I wouldn't expect him to be, you know, limited or something like that.
Okay. As I was starting to say, I'm sure you have opinions. Every fan does right now. It's really a cool thing what has happened so far in the league. Almost shocking to see Mahomes last in average depth of target. You know, Allen throwing for 139. Lawrence, Justin Herbert's not to 300 yards yet. And they're 2-0. Like, a lot of this is working around the league, which is, you know, sort of accounts for why it's happening. What do you think is going on here? Is it being overstated how dramatic a shift we've seen here in philosophy?
No. But I think what is being kind of overstated or overlooked is the sudden shift. This has been happening. This is something that's been going on. It's just now kind of really coming to fruition. This isn't something that we woke up in week one. I know the numbers might suggest that a little bit. This goes back really a couple years. Last year, it started to happen. These two high shells that teams are... What I think the difference now is teams and more teams are really committed to wanting to do this and saying, we're going to not let you go over the top. We talked about this years ago when we talked about football being cyclical and how it changes. The middle linebackers' bodies have changed. What you ask of them has changed, and it goes back and forth. And then we talked about it back in March, and I remember, Mike, coming on with you and talking about how at the owners' meeting, Sean McDermott said, too high shell, too high, you know, you have to figure out a way to get the ball down the field. Teams aren't going to let you do it. And he talked really well about this. I went up to Sean McVay and I asked him about it. He was, yep, he's right. He's like, yep, this is what's happening. You got to figure out a way. I go to Andy Reid, same thing. I go to Brian Daboll, same thing. All of these offensive people that I talked to said, this is what's happening. And then on top of that, a very big indicator for me, and I don't know if you remember this, but I remember mentioning this to you. Safeties didn't get paid and got let go this year. The safety position was the one position where everyone said, we don't need $20 million safeties anymore. You know why? Because teams were telling you then, We're not paying guys to be these athletic freaks to go stop these quarterbacks. We're just going to put two guys back there who know what they're doing. We don't have to pay them a ton of money. Just coach, do what you're coached to do. Keep everything in front of you. We can split the salaries. Go play ball. That's what's happening in this league. And it's coming to fruition now. And teams are finding it very difficult to go against these types of defenses. And on top of that, what they are doing to combat it is not only playing too high. Everybody plays nickel, right? Now teams are playing a lot of dime. Dallas last year gets cooked by James Cook, no pun intended, because they play so much dime. They're lighter. They're putting more DBs on the field, and teams are like, okay, then we'll just run and make it second and four.
Put the safeties in the parking lot is the expression now around the NFL.
Yeah.
There's all of that, and you're talking. The safeties point is really good because it's an example of how teams have shaped their roster in preparation for this. So it's not like they're playing out of position, if you will, team-wise here. Like, it's been coming. There's more to it, I would say, and I think you might agree. A couple of points that have been made quite often is the lack of preseason reps, one fewer game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is that changing back? Are teams going to start now playing their starters, their stars in the preseason? I wonder. And it might even be one fewer games still. And then penalties. And this is interesting, Sal, because I think it's telling. The league so far this year has called way more offensive, like, alignment penalties, illegal shift, illegal formation. I saw the stats on this yesterday. That will change back. It's one of these things, I think, where the league tries to make this point early in the season and then takes its foot off the gas because they don't want that product. You know, think of the first drive of the season with the Ravens. You know, we don't want points here. The league, one way or another, will get back to the stars of the league being the stars of the league. And that might be a small part of what's going on now, but I got to think the penalty stuff will change again.
Probably right. I could see that. I heard your caller earlier talk about allowing teams to play defense a little more. I do think some of that is happening. You're allowing teams. There are less. Seems like there's less of these, you know, pass interference, ticky-tack, holding penalties, although I could be wrong in that. It just feels like it. But I would tell you, too, I remember going on and being on a conference call the NFL had. They do this conference call before the season starts to kind of go over a lot of data and things. And this was, they were talking about the dynamic kickoff. And there was just all this stuff they were putting out there. And I remember specifically that one of the NFL reps said, and he brought up scoring average. And he was talking about where the league wants the scoring average to be. And I kind of noticed that. I'm like, okay, so they actually have in their mind what they want. And he even said, like, something about how it rose a little too high, and then last year it went back down a little bit, and it's like kind of back to where we'd like it to be. And I did think to myself, boy, like, that's something they intentionally kind of have a little ebb and flow in their mind about, right? And I'm not suggesting fixing games. That's not what I mean by that. What I do mean is, though, about maybe some of these rules we're talking about, and maybe, you know, how, you know, the league wants to kind of, you know, make sure that they're in a certain spot where
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Are they allowing defenses or offenses, whatever the case may be at a certain time, to be able to put that in that little sweet spot where they like?
I will tell you, you and I have, you know, talked for years, and I kind of see myself as the, you know, never run the ball guy. I mean, there was a time when I actually literally wanted that. But I love this stuff. You know, I think you do, too. Yeah. I love the back and forth, the pendulum with the different styles. We're going to get that illegal contact penalty that seems weak is going to get called. Maybe some roughing the passer, different things that can push this the other way in terms of the refs. And that'll be really annoying because there's a lack of consistency inherent to that. But, you know, teams running the ball because they can. Okay. It's terrible in fantasy, but okay. Before you go, Tyler Bass. Should have brought this up earlier, I suppose. Could the Bills, would the Bills bother to work out two other veteran kickers if they weren't planning on making a change? Maybe?
They would bother, yes. I think there's a yes and no here, okay? So I'm glad you asked because I've been asked about this a lot today, and I'll just explain to everybody how it works. So generally, it's not abnormal to bring in players from any position, even if you don't need one, to work them out throughout the year. It happens all the time, even a quarterback. You're not looking to replace Josh Allen, but you work out quarterbacks throughout the year, here and there, maybe now, maybe week five, whatever, because in case something were to happen, you get a baseline knowledge of a guy you worked out, and you can turn to him and say, hey, remember we worked that guy out, you know, last month? Let's call him up. He did a good job for us. We know what he's all about. Let's do that. It could be for a backup. So that said, it's not abnormal to have kickers in or whoever. However, I'm also not naive to tell you it's got to be not a coincidence that Tyler Bass struggled. He missed a kick on Thursday, and now here we are with them working out kickers, right? I just don't think that can be just chalked up to coincidence and this is what teams do. It isn't, I don't think it has to be directly correlated immediately to, oh my God, they're looking to move on from Tyler Bass. I don't think they're looking for that. I do think they want to have a little look-see, you know, just in case. And hey, you think Tyler Bass doesn't know that they worked out players, right? He's probably gives him a little nudge, right? Hey, look, we need you to produce. We need you to make these kicks. What's fascinating to me is let's just say they do decide at some point, maybe he misses some kicks and it just gets to a point where we just can't see it going any better. Would they actually move on from him and his contract? Or would they just bring somebody in and allow him to kind of work his way through it and have two kickers? Because, Mike, if they move on from him, like, it's cost them a lot of dead money. And I think, let me just tell you right now, it's over $4.3 million in dead money, and they're not saving anything. So you could do it. I mean, you're already paying them. But I guess my thought is, and I don't think they're to this point right now, but if they did, would they actually move on, or would they just say, we're just bringing in someone else right now to be on the roster?
I'll take a guess that they would move on, even with that number, because it's very unusual to carry two. So I think they would be prepared to do that if they were to make a move. Doesn't look good, but the most important thing is what?
Making the kicks.
You know, winning this year.
Right.
So every move in this the proverbial window has to be toward that. You can't always just make sort of, you can't always push. But I would get it if they felt it was that bad. I mean, we're not in his head. And that's the mental side of it. If the Bills, like you said, the Bills might think this will have a chance of success in terms of motivation toward him. You know, not everybody responds to that kind of thing the same way, but they're going to know him better than I do, and we'll see what happens. Okay, Sal, very good. Thanks for your time as always.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline Monday night, 7:30 kickoff, Bills and Jaguars. I'm going. How about that? Now you know. 803-0550, and really appreciated the listeners in the first hour who wanted to get in and talk about these trends in the league right now. Will it change back? What do you think is accounting for it? Teams are running the ball a lot more, and passing in turn is down. Again, 803-0550, you could be next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
From day one, we want to get better every day. That we want to put the work in. I want them to challenge each other to be better as a line, be better as a D pair. You know, we're going to play a little bit different, so I want them to get comfortable with some of the breakouts and how quick we want to play and getting out of our zone quicker. So with the group really was just bring energy, bring enthusiasm, get better from day one to the last day of the year.
How did that hit you? Lindy Ruff's voice on the heels of a Sabres practice today, day one of training camp. Paul Hamilton joined me earlier. If you missed it, head to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and you can find it there, I think. Paul points out they have three practices before preseason games, number one and two, Saturday and Monday, and then it's off to Germany. There'll be action over there before the regular season opener, I think it's October 1st, whatever 2 weeks from Friday is. I'm not sure that's right. Now I'm going to look. This is where Bulldog would talk. 4th. Is that actually right? October 4th? And then they're home on the 10th, the home opener against the Kings. Anyway, if you have the internet, you might be able to find out more. And so there's Lindy Ruff, and we've got a Dahlin injury that's something. I'm really in two places when it comes to the Sabres at the start of this season. If it weren't for Lindy, I feel like I'm going too far with him and what that is. But I'm on board. I like him. I admire him. I'm going to enjoy watching games, being at games more than if it were almost any other coach. You know, I think over these recent years, the Sabres have been, you know, whatever, to whatever extent, somewhat interested in the bigger names behind the bench, you know, post-Lindy. And Bylsma is the closest they came to that. But, so I want to say, like, Boudreau in his turn or somebody like that would have been exciting. I mean, the Sabres have had credibility issues, and this is a big step toward changing that when you hire a coach like that. I do think it can be overstated, but it's not like anybody else they could have hired I would be like just not interested in. It's not quite to that extent, but I'm feeling the feels when it comes to Ruff. And the last time, you know, there was hope with Jack Eichel, but the last time I really loved it, he was their coach. And so I'm ready to tap into that again, maybe. However, I mean, I think there's reason, it's right to be dubious about the roster, the cap, the whole organization. They have not earned any benefit of the doubt when it comes to like anything. And I mean, I hate saying that, but that, I don't know, really has changed. They've got some good players. I think their coach is a fun and interesting idea, and I think he's credible. But what again did they do this summer to get good? They're banking on Ruff being able to get their own players to their best. And I just like a little bit of a safer investment, you know, just where I am willing to sacrifice one more young player or a draft pick for a guy that I think I can count on. And that really so much didn't happen this summer. And there's cap space, and I don't know, I didn't need a new scoreboard or I don't know about a roof or whatever. You know, so there's definitely some, a feeling of depression about it, or at least concern. But Ruff does go a distance to alleviate that. And hopefully Dahlin is okay because he's their best guy. And to lose him, if they do, on the first day of training camp is kind of cruel. They are asking fans to nominate somebody to be on a bobblehead. Who do the fans want on a Sabres bobblehead? And this kind of thing is where I go back to where I was yesterday about the mural before Chris left, which is, you know, let's just have a sense of humor and put some people, this will never happen, and I'm not saying it should, but really, like, you know, how about put some guys up there, make it like an exorcism. Players who have haunted the Sabres over their long history. There's a lot of these guys, you know. I don't want to name names because it's such a obviously sarcastic, mean idea. But, you know, can you imagine just going down there for the first time and seeing, like, Kasparaitis or Dom in a Red Wings uniform, just things like that? No. Just go with me. And the bobblehead, when I heard about the bobblehead, my mind went into the same dark place. Taylor Hall. There's my nomination for a bobblehead. No, come on. That's not a good idea at all. But it can be like, you know, they've probably done Rick Jeanneret. It can be people, I've been thinking this is probably a lot of what suggestions they might get are people that are not like former players or current players. We will see. 803-0550 is the number. Bills Jaguars, Monday night. Talked a lot today about the style of play in the NFL, how far pass production has fallen. I said at the top, if you had told me in March that this was going to happen in the league, and you know it's going to last, which I don't really think it will, but if you knew that, if I knew that back before the offseason kind of really started, man, we would have spent our time in here talking about different things. Because this climate in the NFL, who cares who your number one receiver is? You have, I mean, there are a lot of these teams. You have up to a half dozen different players who are going to catch two a game. Then what's the difference? Now, that's kind of extreme. Hopefully it gets to be more than that, but that's what Miami was. You have Kincaid again. He's not even getting the ball down the field at all. His air yards for the season are in the red, minus three. I mean, that's worse than last year for his usage early in the season. I get you get into a game. I mean, he was hurt in Miami, but you get into a game and you want to get your guys the ball just to get them into the flow of the game and represent that you're taking that seriously. You want that. And so what you can do there is just take, it doesn't have to be a tight end. I mean, take your best receiver, just throw them a screen pass or something, get them into the game. But I really think still that for the Bills to win, that's going to have to get going. Not just Kincaid, but some more is going to have to happen. Maybe a lot more is going to have to happen. I'm not buying after 2 weeks that this team is going to win a championship through James Cook. I mean, I'm just not buying that. And I would say the same kind of thing about a lot of teams. I think it still will be a league. The league is going to just not let that happen. There's no way they're going to let who cares about this show? I mean, I do, but nobody with pro football does. Like, they're not going to let ESPN and whoever else talk all season about how $50 million quarterbacks are throwing for 150 yards a game. That's just not going to happen. So through penalties, and penalties do a lot for this, and the way football is officiated, they'll do that, and you won't even necessarily notice it. Because so many calls can be made either way, that's really just a choice. It's the point of emphasis. You want to call illegal formation on an offensive tackle whose face mask is a half an inch behind the legal line? You can. And what are we supposed to say about it? It's a penalty. You want to do that? You want to call illegal shift because the guy in motion takes a step toward or an inch toward the line of scrimmage before the ball? You can. It's a penalty. They just don't. Usually, they just don't. And so far this year, that is happening. And all that doesn't even get, those are just sort of procedural penalties. That doesn't even get to the contact in the secondary, interference, holding is always like kind of a not always, usually kind of a mystery. Oh, I guess that's holding. They don't show you the replay if it isn't called. You know, you don't see the replay of pass protection if there isn't a flag there. So who knows what you're missing on those plays. It's always just kind of at the discretion of the league through their officials. They don't even need the flag anymore. They can just have somebody phone down and you don't even know they're doing it. The officials still say after discussion on the field, which is a lie. Because it's really more somebody, they're just standing there not talking. Somebody is telling the referee in his ear from maybe New York City, or who knows, doesn't matter, the moon. Actually, there was a flag there, or spot the ball differently, things like that. It's that way. So I think it matters so much to the NFL is how they view their entertainment product to get these quarterbacks off, including Allen. You know, we're lucky because the Bills are included in this, that you will start to see games officiated differently. I believe that. 803-0550 to join me. This is Mike Shope on WGR. If you missed Ryan Green, Jacksonville radio host, earlier on the Jaguars, he did pretty good detail on what's going on with the Bills' Week 3 opponent. We'll have that for you coming up after the next update. One thing you might catch him saying that I did not comment on at the time is that Gabe Davis's mom grew up a Jaguars fan. And I think the show has sounded older, but I haven't. When I heard that. NFL veterans, second contract veterans, mothers, parents, grew up, it's conceivable that they grew up rooting for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which was not a team until the mid-90s. So, you know, that's a tough one for me right now. We'll see about Davis. He leads them. I don't know, maybe you'd see this differently. I've got all these fantasy teams. I've got some I haven't heard a word about Davis through two games. I hear how good Brian Thomas has looked. I'm following ETN. He's had a couple of scores, the big fumble in the Miami game, Engram's injury. But Davis and Kirk have just not entered the conversation. They have not entered the chat yet this year. But Kirk has almost nothing so far, which is weird, as you'll hear our guest talk about. I agree with him. But Davis has the most targets, I believe, on the team, and some six catches. It's only six catches. That's the whole thing we've been talking about all day with the Bills and other teams in their passing game. Like, not much is happening so far. I'll just say again, to cap the point I made before about what I expect to have happen. You know me with fantasy. Like, you're going to have – I kind of made the point yesterday in a different way. You're going to have fantasy managers who are done with Christian Kirk, say, or better players than that. Garrett Wilson might be a good example of this. Guys who are just not producing very much, and they're going to hear all the time about stuff we're talking about. Teams are running the ball more and kind of give up on those guys. And you might be able to trade like J.K. Dobbins, who's had a great start as a running back, for somebody that good at receiver, which I would love to be able to do, because I think Dobbins is kind of on borrowed time, and I do think the receiver thing will dramatically turn up. We will see. I can't wait to find out the next chapter in this. Again, it's Ryan Green from 92.5 in Jacksonville, Hacker After Dark. The origin of his nickname as well, coming up next here on WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.